You know when you get like your blood pressure done, they do that thing on your arm? That's my whole body right now. Really? My whole body is a a science experiment.
Oh my God.
Here's what happens. You start a podcast, you have a object guest come on who's like, you know, knows how to eat, knows how to work out. Ned McPherson. I listen after the pod. I said, dude, is that really true? You gained like 30 pounds just by changing what you eat? He's like, of course. It's 100% true. So what do? I go home. I download the tracking app. I proceed to now I've been eating 3,000 calories a day for about 3 weeks. Wow. I am just growing at a very rapid pace.
The suit's about to rip.
This suit,
the Hulk.
Ladies and gentlemen, this suit may explode at any point during this podcast. And you know, that's good for views, not good for my tailor. Now, this is an interesting episode, number one, because it's organized, okay? Producer Andrew just got deep into the production mode, organized this thing. This is a bonus episode.
Yeah.
We're chilling in a new studio space, and we're going to go through a couple different topics here.
Yeah, we're going to go through your takes on what's going on right now with the news. We're also going to go with what the internet's talking about through TikTok, what's going viral right now, and we're going to go through some of your guys' DMs that you've been asking. So let's kick things off with... You've heard about this new Bing thing with these unhinged responses. What's going on there?
Okay. This is one of two things. And by the way, neither of these things is your chatbot is about to kill you. Okay. Number one, if I'm Bing's marketing team, this is the most genius marketing stunt of all times, is creating an unhinged robot that's terrorizing users. Who doesn't want to try Bing after seeing a terrorizing robot?
I mean, the Terminator.
Yeah, I was like, yo, OpenAI is getting a little soft. I want to check out Bing. These guys, this robot's got an edge to it, right? So number one, I'm calling out Microsoft on this. Guys, if this is a marketing stunt, you're brilliant. You're absolutely brilliant because you've played on everyone's biggest fear, which is Terminator mode. Mm-hmm. The machine's coming out to get us. And who doesn't want to use this tool now, right? Because it's really hard to get out in front of OpenAI. Mm-hmm. They're the incumbents, arguably millions of pieces of software being built on top of it.
Exactly.
So being someone who's late to the market is extremely problematic. First mover advantage, guys, in AI, this is enormous. So if you build the incumbent platform for generative AI, OpenAI, you basically can sweep the entire market. So pulling up like Microsoft did, like, oh, I'm a little late, like, that's problematic, okay? So how do you do that? You create a robot with a little attitude who said he's going to ruin your reputation. Let's pull this up. What did it actually say?
It says Bing starts coming up with strange answers following a chat sessions of 15 or more questions, and it can become repetitive, respond in ways that don't align with its design tone.
Okay. So here's the deal. In AI, you basically, number one, with ChatGPT, which is a piece of software that sits on top of OpenAI, by the way, guys. OpenAI is the name of the company. ChatGPT is the name of a software chatbot that sits on top. It's meant to maintain this neutral, helpful, friendly tone, okay? And that's done with shit tons of data, and that's also done with human training. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing that makes OpenAI OpenAI.
No, yes.
Yes, no, yes, no. That's machine learning. What's happening now is you expect it to be a certain tone, a helpful tone. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is my friendly little chatbot. You don't expect the chatbot to become an asshole one day, you know? And that's basically what Bing has done. Now, let's pretend it's not a marketing stunt. Okay. Couple things. There's a couple things that could have happened here. My biggest guess would be this is something that's hard-coded or something that's been trained as a little goof, a little nerdy, you know, software engineer goof. Mm-hmm. Because if you guys ever go deep in ChatGPT, and I was doing this last night as I was playing with GPT before go to bed is, I don't know, I gotta get a social life. But I said, what I like to do is I like to ask GPT like really complex questions if I'm working on something. And I was messing around. I said, what's the quickest way to make $1 million in 30 days? I asked GPT that, and it said, it's highly unlikely that you would be able to do this through legal means.
Wow.
And I am a friendly robot. I am not going to tell you to do something illegal. So what's happening here is there is some massaging and restrictions in the code that says, hey, you can't go there. I mean, we can. The other side of this is there's political edge, leanings in the robot, of course, right? So Bing, we've got some sassy AI ML engineers who are like, all right, guys, come on. Wouldn't this be great if this thing did that?
Yeah.
Or somehow, it just has a wider data set, and it's just pulling from things it shouldn't be pulling from, and it hasn't been trained as much as OpenAI. But the bottom line is, your chatbot isn't going to kill you, okay? It's not coming after you. It's probably not going to ruin your reputation. It's, not going to tell your wife that you were at the bar last night, even though you said you were at the office. Like, you're probably okay. So to wrap this up, Bing, you guys rock, because you did the one thing, whether it was intentional or not, the only thing that could get you a lick of attention away from OpenAI. So shout out to you guys. You crushed it. You crushed it. Shout out to the evil robot that is willing to tarnish people's reputations just after a few questions go awry. This is going in its way.
Exactly. What do you think of like the FTX co-founder pleading guilty to fraud?
Yeah. This guy doesn't have a choice. Okay. So the story about Sam Bankman-Fried, okay, the thing that keeps me up at night is not how this is, the crazy, unregulated shit show that was FTX. It's the fact that he went from the smartest guy in our eyes to the dumbest guy in our eyes, in the world.
Just like that.
So that perception shift is really troubling for me, because how the hell, Sam Bankman-Fried hasn't changed. Our perception has changed. He went from the smartest guy in the world to the dumbest guy in the world overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How the hell do you pull that off? Okay. Because I wake up and I waver between one little boundary of, not a complete jackass, but, not a genius, right? And I just sort of stay in that pipeline. I just live in that pipeline. I don't think I'm going to wake up tomorrow and they're going to say, you know what, Nicholas Crown, actually, he's like fucking Steve Jobs, this guy. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. And they're also not going to say, you know what, we found out Nicholas Crown's a fucking dumbass. Like, I'm like kind of right here.
Yeah.
How do you go from one end of the spectrum to the other overnight?
Being a fraud.
But how do you pull that off? I can barely, like... If
that's conning at its finest.
If I get bad service in a restaurant and the waiter's looking at me, I can't even give a bad tip. I can't even do this. I have the guilt.
Yeah, because
you go to get a coffee and now you have to tip with everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's by the way, that whole phenomenon isn't actually a phenomenon of tipping culture changing. That's a tech phenomenon, because if you've got a... What's the computer that flips over? It's usually owned by Stripe or Square. They have like a POS that's like a cute little POS. You go to the nice coffee shop, it's like a little, it's an iPad that flips around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so think about what's the quickest way for Stripe or Square? I don't know who it is, or maybe it's the third, whatever. What's the quickest way for this payment turret to increase their profits? They take a percentage of everything. Maybe we'll throw tips in there. Okay, we'll take a percentage of that too. So tech, if you're complaining that everything is a tip now, you can thank tech. Don't blame your coffee shop.
Yeah.
I can assure you that the friendly barista had nothing to do with writing the code or changing the sales flow or whatever. The tip jar is now, it's high tech as fuck. So, okay, back to FTX. What more can I say on this topic? The one thing that I will reiterate, is there anyone in your life that you think might be one way, but it's really another? Run through it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, Andrew. Are you fucking, are you an evil genius or a fraudster? Only time will tell.
Only time
I got my eyes on you. Do a little audit in your business. Do a little audit in your life. Is there someone that you think is like the best who isn't? Mm. Man.
Two-faced.
Scary stuff.
It is.
I wish I had the ability to...
read people's minds.
To defraud. Now, I'm a pretty good read. Of course, I didn't know SBF personally. Maybe I would have. You know, guys, I would have been the whistleblower. Yeah. I would have been like, sus. Something seems very sus.
Yeah.
But I'm a pretty good read of people, and I get blown out of the water every once in a while. So, man, it's just one of those things that gives you pause.
Yeah.
Of course, the fraud was incredible. Of course, we threw caution to the wind by putting our life savings into something that was offshored, unregulated, and managed by a questionable character.
Mm-hmm.
But
at the time, he wasn't questionable.
At the time, he was the savior, the crypto god.
Exactly.
And now, you know, down here in Miami, I don't hear too many peeps about crypto anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't hear anything.
It's like... It's all like...
It's off. Yeah. It's done. Which means that this is not an official recommendation. There's a lot of asterisks to this podcast, Andy, the really rich legal team. But that kind of means like I feel like I should start buying crypto now.
Yeah.
Everyone hates it. It's fucking garbage. I feel like it's time to buy.
You think it
like, not a recommendation, not investment advice.
Jump the curb.
Jump the curb. Next question.
Oh, so...
Next topic.
You're very into Ferraris. What do you think of these bimbos, I guess we'll call it?
What?
Stealing multiple Ferraris from a Nassau dealership.
Okay. So let's see what happened. It's funny. They don't even tell you the models. They say 2014 gray convertible. Number one, if you're a Ferrari person, it's a spider. The convertible. Yeah. What the hell is that? God, go to Italy and learn the terms.
Yeah.
A blue convertible, a white two-door. A two-door?
And another one.
Okay, there isn't a four-door yet. The Pura Sangue is coming out soon. That's the four-door Ferrari. And a 2023 white two-door. So I guess these guys took, if you know, I'm guessing, they just took a bunch of 488s and maybe an F8 if they're lucky. Okay, so each car, I'm going to say, is about $300,000.
So it's like 1.2.
Yeah, 1.2. On the safe side. Do you blame the guys?
If they want to have some fun, I mean,
do you blame the guys?
To lose, sure, go ahead.
Listen, if you have a business with high value products in it, theft is always going to be a concern. And even in Strong Island, you can get your Ferraris jacked. So I don't think this is unusual. The only thing that's unusual is. If you are a Ferrari person like myself, you know that they've just taken four cars out of circulation, mm-hmm. and now the wait list is going to be even longer. Here's the deal. Every single Ferrari is cataloged by Ferrari. So you can't sell a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what this thing boils down to. They say, hey, guys, go take the cars and sell them wherever the fuck you're going to sell them for a quarter. Of the price or a fraction of the price. Yeah. They literally cannot sell these things at anywhere near market because this is like selling, it's the closest thing to stealing like an NFT and selling it or like a hologram and selling a hologram. It's like, well, I have a whole track record of this thing. Every plate on the car, you could track it back to Italy and see exactly who ordered it. All the records are there. It's impossible. So when I moved back to Miami, let's talk about getting stuff stolen, shall we?
Yeah. The bike.
I moved to Miami, back to Miami. This is round two for me. I went to buy a really conservative super bike and came back with the most ridiculous super bike of all times. an MV Agusta F3 in one-of-one color in what, I forget what they call it in... Italian, but it's basically Miami blue, and the bike was customized with white wheels, white trellis frame. It's the only
Miami
one.
Miami Vice
in a motorcycle. Thing was insane. Basically became my personality. The problem is, it was stolen in 30 days.
Oh, geez.
30 days it was gone. So, you know what, guys? Lock up your bikes. By the way, who's going to buy that bike? It's the only one in the whole. You can't miss it.
It's one of one.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it around. So
you
maybe
think it's somewhere like
it's got to be somewhere around here.
Somewhere.
Or they painted it and they ruined it, or they shipped it out of state and down to, I don't know, down to another country. The truth is, with these cars, the Ferraris, you have to ship these overseas, or you ship them to a market where don't be looking for these. Don't be looking for a white two door to be pulling up to the club in New York City. It's just not going to happen. So you know, guys. You stole the Ferraris, you know, thanks for making the waiting list longer for everybody else, and good luck, you know, staying out of jail.
Hopefully, but by that time, by now, they're probably already caught and found.
Probably.
What do you think of these new layoffs of, like, for example, Waymo or Evan Bright? What do you think's going on there?
I think that when things contract, and then we report on things contract more. It's just like, you know, Eventbrite is a live event ticketing service where it puts the power into you. You know, I've used it for some of our events before, but a lot of these companies swelled with the amount of talent that they had, you know, not to use the beat the dead horse on the Twitter example, but the truth is what happens, there's a mathematical equation, and I wish I had the name of it on the tip of my tongue. I don't. If you read Paul Graham, he talks about this phenomenon a lot. Basically, in tech, you can cut something like 80% of the company and still function because it's like there's a core unit of doers in a business, and they do basically most of the work. So then there's these fringe hires that end up
the managers.
It's sometimes middle managers, people who don't have tactile, you know, touching software, building, fixing, whatever. And this is where these companies get a little bit bloated. You know, heart goes out to these folks that lost their job. That sucks. You got to twist and turn, get back in the market. The good news is what I'm seeing, at least on my side, when I'm looking for flexible talent or I'm hiring some like really sophisticated folks, but flexible, is there's so much other gig and high value gig. Like, it's not even gig. Mm-hmm. Gig means like you do it for an hour. Yeah. This is like work on some really smart projects. I don't know. There's a lot of things getting built right now. Engineers leaving Waymo, Eventbrite. Guys, go jump into an AI startup. You'll be fine. Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. But the more you report on this stuff, listen, if you were the CEO of Waymo and you just see Eventbrite, blah, 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 everyone's laying off, you'd go, maybe we should lay off too. Mm-hmm. It's contagious.
Yeah.
Whether or not you need to or not. So the, you know, the reporting is also a factor here.
I got you. Well, TikTok is trying to limit screen time, or they're even trying to ban it in the U.S. What do you think of this? And do you think it's going to go through?
Good luck with that. Okay, so all TikTok is doing now for a little window dressing is annoying teens every time they hit an hour. Now, every teen is just going to put in their damn passcode and be annoyed once a day forever. Until TikTok isn't a thing anymore, until it's not cool anymore. Teens aren't going to limit their screen time. Look, I can't even limit my own screen time. Number one, we've been heavy into, you know, we build out the Really Rich podcast. We're like, all right, well, we can kind of like hang with anyone now. And we've got some insane guests lined up for the next couple weeks and months. Major CEOs, like breakout founders, more folks from YC. Like, it's going to be awesome. But I looked at my screen time the other day. I was on the, my screen time was 7 hours.
7 hours?
7 hours.
How much was that dedicated to TikTok?
I don't know. I'm an out of control teen, everybody. Out of control. I turned 18 and I never look back. I do what I want around here.
Oh, my God.
Look. The social platforms always do this thing where they're like, we care about you. We care so much about you.
Sure they do.
We care about you. Hey, don't use our platform. It's like Hinge. Hinge's tagline is designed to be deleted. Yeah, right, dude. Everybody I've ever met who uses Hinge is still on Hinge, okay? Didn't work for you. Wonder who it worked for.
Yeah. How
did it work for you, Andrew?
I deleted it for sure.
You deleted it for another reason.
Yeah, just because.
It just wasn't.
Yeah, not for me.
Delivering.
Exactly. Not for me. Exactly.
Not delivering results. Use what apps you want, guys. And it's really up to you. Don't let the tech company come over and say, we care about you. We will hand you controls. It's like, make your own goddamn controls, you know, or you're screwed. Mm-hmm. That's like liquor companies saying, hey, you shouldn't have more than two drinks. And you're like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have 13. Yeah, and exactly. Then I'm pretty sure, you know,
it like makes,
pretty sure Bacardi doesn't call me up and go, hey, Nick, watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Like they do that. So like you feel rebellious. So you get more with everything.
Yeah. You might as well say it's illegal and then we'll pirate it and put it on jailbroken phones in the Philippines exactly. And use it on a web browser.
Exactly.
You want to get weird. That would exactly. Actually be kind of sick. I feel like I should start that company now. we're raising money for that company, guys. Just send me a DM. All right. Enough about TikTok. Too much thinking about TikTok in mm-hmm. my spare time, to be honest with you. That's healthy.
What is your opinion on sake?
I think sake is absolutely freaking brilliant and amazing and delicious. When's the last time I indulged? Dude, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah, I haven't had a drink in two or three months. Let me tell you something about sake. Why you're asking me because sake is now the hot beverage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sake sipping is surging worldwide. I mean, it's about time these old manufacturers start printing cash. You know, sake houses have been around for like some crazy number. It's like 500 years they've been making sake the same way.
Wow.
If you've ever, like, there's a doc on Netflix about sake, and it's one of the most insane things in the entire world because sake, the people that work in a sake brewery, it's called a brewery, they live there. They leave their family behind, and then they live there for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's like going on a boat, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they sleep around the sake. Like they wake up, and they know when the sake is ready to be, you know, massaged or whatever. And then they live around the sake. The sake makes the rules. It's unbelievable. The good thing about sake, too, in my opinion, is we talk about agave spirits like mezcal, which has been hot now for mm-hmm. a year, 2 years, 3 years. The problem with that is mezcal uses really rare, wild cactuses, meaning you can easily push these things into extinction. Sake uses rice. Okay. So it's all delicious, magical stuff, but when the mezcal surge keeps surging, it gets a little scary because some of these species of cacti, are gone forever if you overdo it. All right, quick. We got to get into some new topics. We got to get into some more topics. You don't want to hear my sake,
yeah.
My takes on sake as if I'm like an expert here.
So with the internet talking, there's been this guy in the last few days. He's acting like the rich character instead of the really rich character.
Right.
He's prioritizing like money is the end all type of thing. But the guy that fails to understand is that it's not just about money. It's about every other category that you have to get up there too, because he's acting like money's going to get him the girls, everything, the foot in the door. You got to watch this video. And this guy, you'll see.
This guy isn't going to my girl. I can assure you of that. Number one, you have like a 30-second clip of a McLaren, but he's not in it, right?
No, the next one, he's hating on the gym. He's like, I don't need the gym.
Dude, he just used stock footage of a McLaren. He's wearing a McLaren t-shirt, which I believe you can order from Alibaba for $6. Okay, he was getting out of a car there. I'm not sure what it was. Dude, I feel... You know, this isn't even fair, man. We're gonna give him publicity if I talk about this. What does he do though? What is this guy doing?
I don't know. He started posting. He blows up overnight. Everyone's clowning him. He's acting like the rich guy instead of the really rich guy. What is your opinion? What does he need to fix?
It says it all in his bio. 25-year-old millionaire. Listen, man. If you're 25 years old and you're a millionaire, that's awesome, dude. You're going to look back at what you're doing when you're 35 and you're going to go, son of a God, why did I do that? Why did I buy the McLaren t-shirt? Why couldn't I just leave that in the cart?
Oh my God.
It's just one of those things.
Mm.
I think you get over it. I just think this marketing strategy is losing its edge.
It's like
the lifestyle marketing, or maybe I should be doing more of it. And I'm sitting here like a jackass and never, you know, whatever.
I got you.
All right, poor guy. Hey, man, do your thing. You know what? Do it however you want to do it. I just think that when you get a little older, you're like, I got to add a little bit more value to humanity than this. But
yeah, I got you. What do you think of these, like, train crashes happening?
Horrible. Horrible.
What is your opinion on this leakage in the water, like, in this video? That's kind of just a summary of what's going on. But
the Ohio train collision is absolutely freaking horrible, and we'll have no idea what this true story is here. This is like, I'm getting out of my league here because we're going out of business and finance and startups into, like, pseudo-political whatever, which I try to not do. Mm-hmm. But we'll never know. We'll never know if it's polluting water supply thousands of miles out, right? I don't know what was on these tankers, but it wasn't, you know, grape juice.
Yeah.
It was not grape juice.
Like, they pour from the fridge, like the whatever, tap water, and it's just like...
gray?
It's like, ugh. It's like, if you consume that, you're probably going to die.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. The infrastructure and the rail system, I don't know. It's just getting old and busted, and this crazy stuff starts happening, you know? And it always happens in the worst places. Like, and there won't be transparency. It's a shame. It's a shame.
You think? Yeah.
I'm not smart enough to comment on it any further.
I got you. What do you think of all this controversy of what's in the sky, shoot down in Alaska, shoot down here?
There's a shoot down. You're telling me new stuff?
I mean, that's what they say. Right. But
by the way, I'm taking all this news from someone called News Daddy. Guys, this is not New York Times. Guys, get over it. UFOs are real.
You think?
100%.
You don't think this is like some kind of stunt?
Look, there's... the smartest alternative for why UFOs aren't real is in Brett Weinstein's podcast with Joe Rogan recently. And he said that this could be a diversion tactic similar to what we've done in certain wars and things, to just be like, okay, don't look here. Look over here.
That's what I'm thinking.
But then again, you've got guys who are like decorated generals, decorated, like sitting there saying they've seen these things with their own two eyes. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I feel like with everything that's going on right now, like, that would be the perfect thing to look over there, don't look here type of thing, like, especially right now. But who knows? Maybe, like, it's actually happening. There's E.T. looking at this right now and saying, oh, Nick Crown at the podcast. Yeah.
If those guys don't have anything better to do... than to mess and infiltrate our podcast. You know what? That would be great. If we could get a, an extraterrestrial on our guest list, I'm going to shoot Will a note and just try to see if we can get one of those books.
That would be pretty
sweet.
Do you want to talk about that? The Jake Paul and Tommy Fury?
So my problem is with this stuff is I barely know who Jake Paul is, and then I really don't know who Tommy Fury is. All I see is the diss tracks where they're yelling at each other and they want to kill. That I can get behind. I like a good pre-fight diss track. And Tommy Fury's comebacks are way better than Jake Paul. So on the diss alone, I'm going to put my money on Tommy Fury.
Well, he won. He actually won. Oh. This happened.
Shows how plugged in I am.
On this past Sunday. That's why.
He knocked him out?
No, so they went to 8 rounds, and by split decision, Tommy Fury won 2 out of the 3.
Okay. So. I should have bet money on just you. Well, should have been like $1,000.
Yeah.
Can we get someone who didn't see the fight who wants to bet me and take the other side of the bet? I think this kind of this beef, celebrity beef, I can't wait till I have my celebrity beef. Oh. You know what I mean? Like... It's just going to be awesome.
The finance bros.
Yeah. Like, who's it going to be with? I like mostly everyone. Yeah, you know, I don't know who it's going to be with, but there will be, mark my words, there will be a point where it's not going to be Jake Paul and Tommy Fury. It's going to be Nicholas Crown and another finance guy.
To be announced.
Okay. In the octagon.
Yeah.
And there's going to be something that goes down. Because life is too short.
And look, I mean,
oh yeah,
it's the Hulk coming out right now.
Listen, if you're a finance creator,
the Hulk's coming out.
You want to scrap?
Yeah.
just shoot me a DM. Shoot Andy a DM. Yeah. We'll get this going. So far, so good. UFOs. me not knowing who won the Jake Paul Tommy Fury fight.
Around every idea.
We always want to get to your questions, your DMs, and we've got some fresh ones here.
All right, so we'll go with Adam here. He says, "Hey, I'm starting my own sales consulting business. Landed my first client a couple months ago, and now I have a few additional prospects. Wondering if you could do a post." Or right now, talk okay. about it. Give some advice on how to move from your 9-to-5 to full entrepreneurship.
So Adam has already done the hardest thing to do, which is land your first client. So congrats, Adam. Dude, that's fantastic. When you land your first client, what that means is you've got a little taste of product market fit, meaning you're offering something that people want and they give you money for it. They didn't say, oh, that sounds pretty cool. You know, catch you next week. You know, they opened their wallet. They gave it to you. Okay, so now what you do is you, like a scientist, go through and find out what the heck did you do? Because chances are, Adam, it just was magic and you didn't know what the fuck happened and you're like, I blacked out. He just handed me the money. Go through like a scientist and say, what did I do and how do I replicate this thing? And then start to look for your leverage points. How did you sign him? Was he someone in your network? Was he someone in your gym? Was he someone from that you met on, you know, slid into your DMs because you're doing sales content. Whatever you do, then you start to find and try to put pressure, okay, on that one channel, whatever it is. So FYI, man, I don't know what you're charging for a month. You don't need that many clients to bust out of your 9-to-5 when you've got something like sales consultancy. Several thousand bucks a month, right? Mm-hmm. You get a couple clients and you're going to be well on your way. The easiest way to start making a lot of money is to take your specialized skill and sell it directly to somebody. So whether it's a consultancy for whatever skill you have, and then of course you want to build a real business where you can step aside and then you could sleep and you still make money when you're asleep. But that's, you're not there yet, Adam. You'd like 10 clients before you can start to say, hey, well, maybe I'll hire another guy. Maybe I'll do some sales out, have a salesperson do some outreach. So first thing is first, audit what you've done, systematize what you've done, meaning write it out in long form in a doc, and then find your leverage point, find your channel fit and put some pressure on that. Adam, see you at the Ferrari dealership.
That's motivation right there. So this lady, she may go by D. She's asking how she could start a sort of podcast, but with female leads, and what would be your best approach for that? And if you have any words of advice.
Yeah, just do it. Find some friends, jump in the studio, and just do it. Also, film the darn thing. Don't make it just audio. The whole thing with our podcast is more people watch it than just listen to it. Right now, okay? So film the thing, do a video podcast, and just get in there. And don't show up with some crazy agenda, just let it flow. Take it, chop it up into little clips, put it on IG Reels, put it on TikTok, see what pops, and then build your pod around that. If you overthink it and you don't get started, that's the problem. Getting started is not the problem. Rent a studio, wherever you are, there's a studio in your hometown, get in the studio, pull your friends, have some fun. And have it professionally edited so, you know, people, if they don't know that it's brand new, no one will know it's brand new if it's chopped the right way. So, listen, even the biggest podcasts, I don't want to name some names, but even the biggest podcasts, the presenter is kind of awkward a little bit, kind of nerd. Like, there's a beauty to that because it's honest and it's earnest to them. So, if you look right now through the top 10 podcasts, not all those people are these suave, smooth operators. There's some brainiacs, some nerds, and they've got their audience in the millions. Get in there, D.
Would you say like get into a specific niche or just talk about whatever?
What niche? What niche are we? We don't even know. What the hell? I just talked about UFOs for 15 minutes, dude. Okay? This is supposed to be a clean finance pod and it just goes wherever it wants to go. No, forget about, don't overthink it. Chop your content into pieces and see what people resonate. And then the thing that gets the most views, that's your niche. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. So good luck, D. One more question and then we got to...
And then finally, simple question right here. Tyler asks, how does he go from being the business to running the business without quality
going down? Increase? Yeah. Okay. Well, Tyler, you've asked the most difficult question. The only way this works is with three letters, SOP, Standard Operating Procedures. The whole deal is, Tyler, I suggest you go and get yourself a burger and fries at McDonald's, okay? And then I suggest you eat that burger and fries because it's freaking delicious. Then go drive to another town and get another burger and fries and tell me if the burger and fries taste exactly the same. Now go to any other fucking restaurant in the entire world okay, that has a chain, and tell me if the burger tastes exactly the same. McDonald's is a standard operating machine powerhouse. They can take people who have very little skills, okay, it's their first job, whatever, and they can make that burger the same way every time. Tyler, if you can make the burger the same way every time, you're going to be filthy rich. And I will also see you at the Ferrari dealership, okay?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the wait list just went up by 4 units, but I didn't see that they didn't steal one in Rosso, in red. Mm-hmm. So there's still a chance for us, Tyler. Yeah, SOPs, Tyler. A book for you real quick is The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. Just get over the fact that it was written in the 70s and it's got some funky language. That book is going to just bash the idea of franchise mentality and SOPs into your brain. Work for me, work for you. All right?
Gotcha.
So that was Fast and Furious. This format.
Yeah, quick rundown.
It's the fastest. Yeah, it's amazing.
Different topics, different ways.
Yeah.
And that's...
that's how we do it around here.
That's how we do it.
And if you haven't yet, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Like. Comment.
Say this is your favorite.
Yeah. Tell your friends, guys. Okay? You know, otherwise, what the hell else are we going to do? We have no skills at this point. See you, man. Take care.
And that's right.
Oh, suit ripped.